Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 32, Triads of Tenses. Assuming that you have a specialist teaching language arts and that a lot of it will be out of your hands, I would urge you, if possible, in this 14-day period to perhaps have that individual come over to your computer or go to a computer in school and listen to what I am bringing. If not, it might be very good before the school year begins for you to have a conversation with that specialist, even if he or she is the high school English teacher, and see if that individual has any clue about why he or she is teaching the sixth grade one or another aspect of grammar. If you look, for example, in the Stockmeyer compilation of Rudolf Steiner's words about various subjects, and look at teaching the mother tongue, which of course was German, but what he has to say basically applies to the teaching of English as well. He brings up grammar repeatedly, and he emphasizes how important it is that teaching it incorrectly can over-intellectualize the child. Another side, he says, teaching it in the wrong way can lead to digestive disturbances in later life. He speaks of it as an awakening capacity, as something that paves the way for the child to come into the adult world. It's incredibly important. And he's speaking here about grade school grammar, not high school grammar. So this is critical. Does that specialist teacher understand the why? And does he or she understand the how, that this isn't just working with some kind of text or workbook, however clever it might be, or those downloaded from the internet sheets that so many teachers use nowadays, that we are really trying to awaken the child and yet also respect the development of their physical, etheric, astral bodies, as well as the ego hovering around. So I want to share with you some aspects of tenses, and this might help us understand the way in which the members of the human being are really being stimulated, awakened in this work. When did we first introduce tense? In fourth grade, just 2 years ago. Why? Because the astral body was starting to approach the etheric physical organism of the child. The astral body was making itself known, and this is when the child can awaken to and start to utilize tenses. This is, we could say, using another word for tense, this is when the child awakens to time. They get a foundation for tense when they learn how to tell time in grade 3. So this 9-10 year change is the portal for an understanding of time on the one hand, and of tense, grammatically speaking, on the other hand. And now in sixth grade, where the astral body is coming in the fullness of its being, we have to go more deeply into tense and get a sense for its more nuanced applications. So this is important. Tense has to do with time. Now think about this. The physical and the etheric bodies are there when we are born. The astral and the ego are not fully present, far from it. As I've said in other contexts, the astral in particular is streaming towards the physical etheric from the widest expanses of the cosmos, streaming rapidly, but still it's not all there. It's being held in a kind of trust fund in the future. which is to say that it is only as the astral body approaches us and starts to incorporate that we can really understand what the future means. So there's not too much sense in speaking to first and second graders about the future. They're living very much in a present sense, almost a kind of eternal present. The past is something that they can vaguely understand, but in a way the future, not at all. Even though they can imitate us in saying, I will do this or I will do that, it's still something very different. So understanding tense means that the astral body and to a lesser extent the ego are streaming towards us. And this is why sixth grade is such a crucial time for us to be working with clarity in the tenses. It helps the astral body to be given structure and form. It helps the astral body to behave. If you have a specialist teacher teaching it who doesn't know your children, who's not aware that this boy is still living very strongly with etheric forces that have not yet opened the way for an astral body. This girl in her sanguine nature has had an astral aspect floating around her since first grade. How can we bring some form and structure to that? If they're just coming in with a sort of one-size-fits-all attitude, that is not going to help the children. Yes, they'll learn the grammar, but they will not have the full deep experience of tense. So you and that specialist have to really talk about the temperaments of the children and then the movement from temperament to personality. Are these young people introverted, extroverted? Which direction are they going in? Tense will be working with all of this and affecting it all as well. In fourth grade, the children learned about simple tense. They learned about past, present, and future. This year, we especially want to bring to them the perfect tenses, past perfect, present perfect, future perfect. And then, perhaps in seventh and eighth grade, it's not entirely so clear which one you're going to want to take up here. You're going to then work with the continuous tenses, the past perfect continuous, the present perfect continuous, the future perfect continuous. Now, this last triad, I say it's not so clear about whether it's seventh grade, eighth grade, even high school. It's something that, in a way, is less formative in the life of the young person. But the most critical ones for now are the perfect tenses, past perfect, present perfect, and future perfect, and understanding these. So they have the word perfect in them. And what does that mean? Steiner has said that it's as though I show the students something finished, like a desk, a table, and I say, this is done. Everything possible has been done to it so that it will serve the role it's meant to serve. It's something that's quite perfect. But look over there at that woodworking project. That's still in progress. I'm still working on that. And he said that this is an important way of differentiating how the tenses speak of the world around us. What does it mean for something to be perfect? So let's begin by looking at past perfect. Here are some examples of past perfect. Claude said that he had not done his homework. So said is simple past. Had not done is past perfect when the two are combined. So we have something that happened just a moment ago, he said that, and something that happened long before that, at least the night before. So we have two levels of something in the past. We might say that Claude saying something has a degree of control about how he explains what happened, but what had happened, that's something that's done. That can't be altered right now. Here's another example. Sally did not receive a scholarship because she had not signed her name on the form. So, she did not, that's simple past, but when combined with she had not signed her name, that gives us past perfect. Two levels of past experience. When I spoke about fifth grade in the fifth grade online conference, I spoke of the fifth grader as a Janus-like figure, one who is poised between the past and the future, looking in both directions at once, but especially longingly at the past. And we can say that past perfect carries a quality like this. What's the difference between simple past and past perfect? Simple past lives in the etheric body. This is why we can introduce it in grade 4. The astral is meeting the etheric body. The two are interacting. And out of this, the astral is able to awaken us to the fact that the etheric carries our memory, that the etheric carries our past within it. So that's simple past. What about past perfect? We're looking more deeply. We're looking further back. Now the astral body is starting to bring consciousness to the physical body as well. So the physical body, the most perfect, as Steiner tells us, of our four members, the physical body carries past perfect. It is, in a certain way, formed in stone. It's written in stone, as we say, literally, in the mineral world. The physical body is much less open to change. There's much less that we can do about it than we can on the etheric level. So this is why grade 6 should be learning these perfect tenses. Past perfect, it shows them, it tracks the activity of the astral body. They can understand two different layers of something being in the past. What is there in our etheric body, which we could say is more in the realm of short-term memory, and what goes far more deeply. We could say past perfect is the voice not only of memory, but the voice of habit as well. Past perfect involves using had as a helping verb, followed by the past participle, such as asked, danced, arrived, eaten. So it represents a past action that happened earlier than a past action that's nearby it. So some ways of expressing this past tense in the past perfect form is, I had arrived. You had eaten. He had seen. She had arrived. It had eaten. And so on. Very simple. The children just have to remember, of course, where there are irregular verbs, such as I had shrunk rather than I had drank, and things like that. So it's not that difficult to form these terms. It's just a matter of understanding the nuances that they bring. So we can say two things happened in the past. I went to see the movie, and we discussed the movie in class. We could also put it like this. I went to see the movie. We had discussed the movie in class. Which one of those events occurred first? we had discussed the movie in class. That came first, even though it's the sentence that follows the one that's more recent. I went to see the movie. We could say, I went to see the movie because we had discussed it in class. So the children then are able, in one sentence or in two sentences in close proximity to each other, to see the difference between something that is closer to us, over which we may still have some control, and something that is done, has reached a degree of perfection. Here again, the grammar itself is relatively simple and certainly can be taught by any number of people, but the way in which we are teaching it, the understanding of what's going on within the young person as they are beginning to understand and to some degree in their writing, master this tense, that really makes all the difference. We'll go on to the other two perfect forms in the next lecture.